Good morning and welcome everybody here to the Lakers Lowdown Podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, senior Lakers insider and lead creator for Offside. And today on the show, we're going to be talking about that loss to the Portland Trailblazers. This is going to be kind of an in-between of a lowdown and a lounge, in that I'm going to expand on a couple of topics in ways that I don't normally on a lowdown, seeing as I didn't record a lounge last night because the Dodgers played well into the early morning. I will be recording a little bit later today a mailbag episode, so hit me in the iTunes reviews or the Discord or wherever to get your questions in. And then I'll see you guys a little bit later this afternoon. But I want to talk about that Blazers loss. I want to explain why I would consider it an organizational loss. I know people always like to chart things up to schedule losses, but I actually think it's way too early in the season for that. And I would consider this more of an organizational loss. And then I want to explain why these kinds of losses matter, and kind of compare and contrast it directly to the Dodgers game that we just watched last night and the Dodgers as they operate as an organization. So let's go ahead and dive on in. Quick reminder, please do hit that subscribe button. Please hit that like button if you guys are watching here on YouTube. If you guys are watching on, well, this isn't going to air on Twitter, so never mind. If you guys are listening to this in podcast form, please hit that subscribe button wherever it is that you get your podcast, preferably on Odyssey, because I'm a company man. So we'll just start with the game here. 122-108 was the final. It was, I don't know, kind of close. The Blazers kept the Lakers at arm's reach for much of the game. And the only reason that the Lakers were ever particularly close was because Austin was once again really freaking good as their lead offensive creator. But Lakers didn't have enough creation outside of him. Every time he sat down, the offense fell off of a cliff. Credit also to Houston. They had some guys play well as well. Denny Avdija is really good. And then Drew Holiday shot well, and Donovan Clean played well on the interior. So it was one of those games where the final score is, I think, fairly representative of how the game went. You look at the guys who were not available here for the Lakers, and it was half the roster. You know, you had, it was actually an interesting starting group that the Lakers threw out there. Now, the plus minus on that starting group wasn't great because they'd never played together before, but you had Austin Reeves, you had Jake LaRavia, you had Rui Hachimura, you had Jared Vanderbilt, and you had DeAndre Ayton. Now, I was concerned about that group from a foot speed standpoint, and we kind of saw that. Portland is actually rather athletic. Shaedon Sharpe, please do the dunk contest as an example. But the Lakers, when they went to their bench, you had guys like Dalton Kennett come off of the bench. You had Christian Koloko come off of the bench. You had, and he only played 3 minutes in kind of garbage time. You had Nick Smith Jr. play 20 minutes. You had Bronny James play 20 minutes. And you had Chris Mannion play 4 minutes. So, you know, it was a game where the Lakers just didn't have the horses to compete. So I want to talk about this from an organizational standpoint. And again, kind of compare it to what we saw last night in an 18-inning thriller in the World Series from the Dodgers. So the Lakers' bottom third of their roster is pretty abysmal, and it's been pretty abysmal for a while now. You have, you know, so your 10-man rotation is fine, I would say. It's a good NBA rotation. You have Luka, LeBron, Rui, Austin, Vanderbilt, Vincent, Ayton, LaRavia, Smart, and Hayes is your 10-ish man rotation, with Dalton Kennett kind of on the peripheries of it. And, you know, if Maxi Kleber is ever healthy, maybe, just maybe, but I just don't think we're ever going to see that. Outside of that, it falls off a cliff. Nick Smith Jr., hardly an NBA player. Bronny James, hardly an NBA player. Adu Thiro is a mostly theoretical presence in the organization right now. And then you have two-way guys like Manon and Coloco. Mentioned Nick Smith Jr. earlier. That's the other two-way guy. For Coloco to only play 3 minutes in this game, honestly, I don't see why he's in the organization then. Like, if he can't play in this one against that, you need him against the size that the Blazers present. And if J.J. Redick can't even trust him in that moment, given how thin the Lakers are, then what are we doing? Like, he's neither project nor presence. So get him off of the team if J.J. Redick isn't going to play him. Or J.J. Redick should play him. I do think he brings some stuff to the table. He has good defensive instincts, decent athlete, not the best finisher, still kind of lighter frame. But not playing him at all last night, I didn't really understand it. And it's one of the, like, it has reached a point here where two head coaches have basically refused to play this guy and or consider him an NBA player. And now one of the head coaches is Darvin Ham and the other one is J.J. Redick, both of whom I consider kind of sus. But at the end of the day, the organization has to kind of listen to the coaches through their actions. And if neither Darvin Ham was going to play him or J.J. Redick refuses to play him now, then the organization kind of needs to adjust and bring in somebody that maybe Redick might trust a little bit more. But yeah, like the reason I'm considering this an organizational loss is for a few reasons. One, I know you guys are sick of me talking about the preseason, so I'm not going to belabor the point, but I just don't think the Lakers were ready for this season. I don't. From a physical standpoint, from a conditioning standpoint, I just don't think these guys were ready. And I'm going to move on because, like I said, beating a dead horse. But what I will say, though, is look at the guys that the Lakers have on their team. And like LeBron, 41 years old, right? Luka has struggled to play, a large number of NBA games throughout his career, right? He's had some injury issues. He was injured when he got to the Lakers. Jared Vanderbilt has been in and out of the lineup basically for the last couple of years since he signed his extension. Gabe Vincent has had injury issues. The reason that Marcus Smart was available is because of his injury issues. So you have plenty of guys throughout this roster and throughout this rotation, more specifically, who you knew you were probably going to have, you were probably going to lose some time with those guys, right? You weren't going to get a full 82 or a full 70 from all of those guys, if any of those guys. So at some point you needed to plan for injuries. And that's what's kind of, when I say the Lakers lost this one as an organization, that's what I mean. The Lakers cannot continue to ignore the bottom third of the roster because, you know, yeah, you can field, and I know people are going to say, well, you have LeBron and Luka making so much money, you can't do it. No, man, like it doesn't, you need better guys on lower level NBA contracts, minimum level contracts than you currently have. Dalton Knecht has been a bust as a draft pick. Bronny James, you know, whether you want to call it a Nepo pick or whatever, he hasn't developed. This is a spot where he needed to help you out. He was terrible last night. You have, you know, Maxi Kleba, who making $11 million this year, not turning him into a couple of bottom of your rotation type players also kind of stings a little bit because he's hardly going to play this season. I mentioned Christian Coloco and Chris Mannion I don't know if it's Mannion or Mannion. I've seen the accent mark and I've seen it without the accent mark. But I did see them pronounce it as Mannon last night. So I think I might just stick with Mannon. And ESPN doesn't have an accent mark, so he's Mannon. Unless he isn't, and then I'll adjust, I guess. Adethiro, right? Drafted as a player with injury concerns. And wouldn't you know it, he has injury concerns. So, like, the Lakers simultaneously will not take chances on players at the top of the roster or in the rotation who have injury concerns. But then at the bottom of the roster, they have all kinds of guys with injury concerns. And it just leads to a very, very thin roster. And I'm sorry, four games into a season is way too early to be fielding that kind of a joke of an NBA roster where you had seven guys basically who you felt comfortable playing. You had no offensive engines outside of Austin Reeves. It was just, and that was a Portland Trailblazers team that's going to be fighting for the play-in. Imagine if they had played Oklahoma City, or imagine, like, they might have been able to sneak that win out last night if they had knocked down a couple of threes, which would have been great. But I almost feel like the loss does quite a bit here to hammer a point home of, hey, stop doing this with the bottom third of your roster. It was that way last year. It's been this, by the way, the scouting department and the draft group, or the drafting organization or drafting aspect of the organization, just really bad drafts the last couple. Maxwell Lewis, not in the league anymore. Dalton Kanek on his way out. Jalen Huchefino, basically not in the league anymore. Now you have Adu Thiro, and he doesn't look like he has much staying power. The other guy that they liked a couple of years ago when they drafted Jalen Huchefino was Kobe Bufkin. They were getting ready to pick him. That would have been a disaster too. So there are many organizational footfalls that lead you to a loss like last night. And it's just one of 82. I'm not really that torn up over losing to the Portland Trailblazers. Although those are games that at the end of the season, you kind of look back on it, it's like, shit, we probably shouldn't have lost to the Trailblazers if we wanted a 2 seed or a 3 seed or a 4 seed, whatever. But what I'm more annoyed by is how predictable all of this has been. It was really predictable that they would get into NBA games and their bodies be ready to play because they hardly played any NBA minutes or NBA intense minutes in the lead up to the regular season. It was really predictable that they would run into injury issues because of the types of players that they employed and because they failed. Rob Pelinka completely failed to supplement those injury concerns with guys close to the bottom of the roster who, if they stepped in, wouldn't be a complete disaster. I'm not expecting that they would have guys that would step up in the ways that, you know, a $5 million player would, but you should be able to get decent minutes from the bottom of your roster every so often. The Lakers are just never going to get that because of the way that bottom of the roster looks. And like, comparing it to the Dodgers last night, they play 18 innings in the World Series. Two of the heroes of that game. Now, obviously, the hero of the game is Freddie Freeman, who hits the walk-off homer to win it. And now the Dodgers, get that commanding 2-1 lead going into the final half of that series. But I think the guys who kind of hammer this point home most are guys like Emmett Sheehan or guys like the guy who I'm blanking on his name, Will Klein. Those two guys threw five or six shutout innings last night. Emmett Sheehan was an okay pitching prospect, I would say. He wasn't considered he didn't have ace potential. I'm going to be honest, I had never heard of Will Klein before last night, and I watched the Dodgers pretty damn religiously. And both teams got to the very, very end of their postseason pitching rotation or bullpen, and both teams were just running on fumes by the end of it. Toronto had literally run out of subs to make, so when the one dude fouled the ball off of both of his legs somehow, he had to stay in the game because they didn't have anybody to bring in for him. And from the Dodgers' perspective, they were up against it when it came to, like, they had to pitch Will Klein 3 innings in that game and hope that he survived those things, because they also ran out of their bullpen. But at the bottom of their bullpen, you had guys who stepped up. And now look, like, that was kind of out of the ordinary. I would never have expected that those guys would throw shutout innings the way that those guys did. And frankly, Toronto hardly threatened for much of those innings. There were a couple threats here and there, but for the most part, it was pretty insane how well those guys held up when the Dodgers were the team that were kind of squandering the opportunities late. And finally, Freeman breaks through by finally not hitting a homer through that late night smog that was apparently sitting over the stadium last night. But like, when you look at the way that the Dodgers have operated basically since Guggenheim has taken over for them, and I do think it's worth noting that this is how I'm expecting the Lakers to operate too. And I know it's not apples to apples because there is no salary cap in baseball, but there's also no salary cap in scouting. There's no salary cap in developmental investing. There's no salary cap in intel and getting the absolute most out of the players that you do bring into your organization. Like, there are, like, the Lakers have given themselves the salary cap under Jeannie Buss and under the Buss family, where they just don't spend on those things. The Dodgers, however, they spend on everything. They get the best everything. And that's the standard that they hold themselves to. And it prepares them as an organization for the situation that they ran into last night, even though it's literally the only the second game that has ever gone to the 18th inning in World Series history. The Dodgers have won both of those games. And I think it really kind of speaks to their ability to find talent where other teams haven't, and to, more importantly, develop that talent so that if the time comes where those guys' numbers are called and they are called upon to do the extraordinary, they just might be able to do it. Asking Bronny to give you decent minutes in his second season isn't asking the extraordinary. It's game four of an 82 game season. It's a pretty good Portland Trailblazers team. He could barely get the ball across half court. Asking, you know, I don't know, asking Christian Coloco to be good enough to get off of the bench in that spot when you only have DeAndre Ayton as center depth, that's not extraordinary. That's rather ordinary, and yet he couldn't do it, you know. I'm just really sick of having this conversation with these Lakers, where and really sick, frankly, of I like speaking well and highly of the Dodgers, and I do hope that they bring a lot of that organizational understanding and production to the Lakers whenever the sale is finalized. But I thought last night that game against the Toronto Blue Jays was an organizational win for the Dodgers. That is one where every single player, every single person gave input or provided input into that win. And I thought the Lakers' loss last night was on the exact opposite of that spectrum, where the Lakers, as an organization, I don't think prepared their guys for the season to start. And you're seeing some of these wear and tear injuries already four games into a season. I don't think you had, or you've had an organization develop guys like Bronny, guys like Dalton, guys like Coloco, and like Nick Smith Jr. has barely been in the organization at all, so I'm not going to speak on him, but like those guys just haven't improved. Jared Vanderbilt hasn't improved since he got to the franchise. He's only 26 years old, and we've basically considered him as topped out as potential at this point. And I think that has a lot to do with the fact that we just don't have any expectation that the Lakers understand how to develop guys. So I've already gone longer on this subject than I wanted to, but really what I really want to hammer home here is how I think last night was kind of a missed opportunity that started well before the game was even played. I honestly found it difficult to recap the game because it's like, what do you say? They had seven guys, but how do you arrive at the fourth game of your season already only having seven guys? That to me speaks. And by the way, there are a lot of teams that are going through this. Oklahoma City has withstood a rash of injuries, right? They almost lost to the Dallas Mavericks, but they were able to pick, you know, carry out that win. Because I don't, you know, you get this guy, AJ Mitchell, who they had in their organization and they developed, and now he's immediately turned around and helped them. Look and see how much he's making this year. It's not that much, right? And you could go through the ranks of you know, teams, and like the Boston Celtics are missing Jason Tatum. They've been fairly competitive at the now. I don't believe they won, or if they've won, they've only won one game. But like that was a game against a mediocre to bad Portland Trailblazers team that, again, I think is going to have to fight scratch and claw to even the play-in. And the Lakers were not really ever that close to it. They were within single digits from time to time. But if you can't withstand Austin Reeves sitting down in some of those minutes against that Portland Trailblazers team, and again, no offense to them, they're fine, but they aren't good. That to me speaks louder of where this organization has fallen short than, you know, anything that happened specifically in that game. All right, that is going to do it here for this episode of the Lakers Lowdown Podcast. This is going to go right up on the RSS feed, so keep an eye out for that. If you aren't able to catch this in video form, if you are catching this in video form, please hit that like button, please hit that subscribe button, and turn on those notifications for, you know, for example, I'm going to go live probably in a matter of hours today to answer mailbag questions and you know, talk more about all this stuff. And if you turn on your notifications, you won't miss that show, which, you know, will be a pretty fun show. So until then, until next time you guys hear from me, I'm Anthony Irwin saying have a great rest of your day, make somebody else's, and I will talk to you in a little bit.